The Lani People by J.F. Bone. Chapter 2. Kenan was startled by the speed with which his letters were answered. Accustomed to the slower pace of Beta, he had expected a week would elapse before the first reply. But within 24 hours, 9 of his 12 inquiries were returned. 5 expressed the expected, "Thank you, but I feel that your asking salary is a bit high in view of your lack of experience." 3 were frankly interested, and requested a personal interview. And the last was the letter, outstanding in its quietly ostentatious folder, the reply from Box V9. "Would Dr. Kenan call at 10 a.m. tomorrow at the offices of Outworld Enterprises Incorporated and bring this letter and suitable identifications?" Kenan chuckled. Would he? There was no question about it. The address, 200 Central Avenue, was only a few blocks away. In fact, he could see the building from his window, a tall, functional block of duralium and plastic, soaring above the others on the street, the sunlight gleaming off its clean square lines. He eyed it curiously, wondering what he would find inside. The receptionist took his ID and the letter, scanned them briefly, and slipped them into one of the message tubes beside her desk. "It will only be a moment, Doctor," she said impersonally. "Would you care to sit down?" "Thank you," he said. The minute, he reflected, could easily be an hour. But she was right. It was only a minute until the message tube clicked and popped a capsule onto the girl's desk. She opened it and removed Kenan's ID and a small yellow plastic rectangle. Her eyes widened at the sight of the plastic card. "Here you are, Doctor. Take shaft number 1. Slip the card into the scanner slot, and you'll be taken to the correct floor. The offices you want will be at the end of the corridor, to the left. You'll find any other data you may need on the card, in case you get lost." She looked at him with a curious mixture of surprise and respect as she handed him the contents of the message tube. Kenan murmured an acknowledgement, took the card and his ID, and entered the grav shaft. There was the usual moment of heaviness as the shaft whisked him upward and deposited him in front of a thickly carpeted corridor. "Executive level," Kenan thought as he followed the receptionist's directions. No wonder she had looked respectful. But what was he doing here? The employment of a veterinarian wasn't important enough to demand the attention of a senior executive. The personnel section could handle the details of his application as well as not. He shrugged. Perhaps veterinarians were more important on Cardon. He didn't know a thing about this world's customs. He opened the unmarked door at the end of the corridor, entered a small reception room, smiled uncertainly at the woman behind the desk, and received an answering smile in return. "Come right in, Dr. Kenan. Mr. Alexander is waiting for you." "Alexander? The entrepreneur himself? Why?" Numb with surprise, Kenan watched the woman open the intercom on her desk. "Sir, Dr. Kenan is here," she said.
"Bring him in,"
a smooth voice replied from the speaker. Alexander, XM Alexander, president of Outworld Enterprises, a lean, dark, wolfish man in his early 60s, eyed Kenan with a flat, predatory intentness that was oddly disquieting. His stare combined the analytical inspection of the pathologist, the probing curiosity of the psychiatrist, and the weighing appraisal of the butcher. Kenan's thoughts about Alexander's youth vanished that instant. Those eyes belonged to a leader on the battlefield of galactic business. Kenan felt the conditioned respect for authority surge through him in a smothering wave. Grimly, he fought it down, knowing it was a sign of weakness that would do him no good in the interview which lay ahead.
"So, you're Kenan," Alexander said.
His lingua franca was clean and accentless.
I expected someone older.
Frankly, sir, so did I, Kennan replied. Alexander smiled, an oddly pleasant smile that transformed the hard, straight lines in his face into friendly curves.
Business, Dr. Kennan, is not the sole property of age.
Nor is a veterinary degree, Kennan replied.
True, but one thinks of a Baton as someone ancient and sedate.
Ours is an old planet, but we still have new generations.
A fact most of us outsiders find hard to believe, Alexander said. I picture your world as an ironclad society crystallized by age and custom into something rigid and inflexible.
You would be wrong to do so, Kennan said. Even though we are cultural introverts, there is plenty of dynamism within our society.
How is it that you happen to be out here on the edge of civilization?
I never said I was like my society, Kennan grinned. Actually, I suppose I'm one of the proverbial bad apples.
There's more to it than that, Alexander said. Your early years probably influenced you.
Kennan looked sharply at the entrepreneur.
How much did the man really know about him?
I suppose so, he said indifferently. Alexander looked pleased.
But even with your childhood experiences, there must be an atavistic streak in you, a throwback to your adventurous Earth forebears who settled your world.
Kennan shrugged. Perhaps you're right. I really don't know. Actually, I've never thought about it. It merely seemed to me that an undeveloped world offered more opportunity.
It does, Alexander said. But it also offers more work. If you're figuring that you can get along on the minimum physical effort required on the central worlds, you have a shock coming.
I'm not that innocent, Kennan said. But I am not so stupid that I can't apply modifications of Baton techniques to worlds as new as this. Alexander chuckled.
I like you, he said suddenly. Here, read this and see if you'd care to work for me.
He picked a contract form from one of the piles of paper on his desk and handed it to Kennan.
This is one of our standard work contracts. Take it back to your hotel and check it over. I'll expect to see you at this time tomorrow.
Why waste time? Kennan said. The rapid reading technique originated on Beta. I can tell you in 15 minutes.
Certainly. Read it here if you wish. I like to get things settled. The sooner the better. Sit down, young man, and read. You can rouse me when you're finished.
He turned his attention to the papers on his desk and within seconds was completely oblivious of Kennan, his face set in the rapt, trance-like expression of a trained rapid reader. Kennan watched for a moment as sheets of paper passed through Alexander's hands to be added to the pile at the opposite end of the desk. The man would do better, he thought, if he would have his staff transcribe the papers to microfilm that could be read through an interval time scanner. He might suggest that later. As for now, he shrugged and seated himself in the chair beside the desk. The quiet was broken only by the rustle of paper as the two rapt-faced men turned page after page with mechanical regularity. Finally, Kennan turned the last page, paused, blinked, and performed the necessary mental gymnastics to orient his time sense. Alexander, he noticed, was still engrossed, sunk in his auto-hypnotic trance. Kennan waited until he had finished the legal folder which he was reading, and then gently intruded upon Alexander's concentration. Alexander looked up blankly, and then went through the same mental gyrations Kennan had performed a few minutes before. His eyes focused and became hard and alert.
"Well," he asked, "what do you think of it?"
"I think it's the damnedest, trickiest, most unilateral piece of legalistics I've ever seen," Kennan said bluntly. "If that's the best you can offer, I wouldn't touch the job with a pair of forceps." Alexander smiled.
"I see you read the fine print," he said.
There was quiet amusement in his voice.
"So, You don't like the contract?
No sensible man would. I'm damned if I'll sign commitment papers just to get a job. No wonder you're having trouble getting professional help. If your contracts are all like that, it's a wonder anyone works for you.
We have no complaints from our employees, Alexander said stiffly.
How could you? If they signed that contract, you'd have a perfect right to muzzle them.
There are other applicants for this post, Alexander said.
Then get one of them. I wouldn't be interested.
A spaceman's ticket is a good thing to have, Alexander said idly. It's a useful ace in the hole. Besides, you have had 3 other job offers, all of which are good, even though they don't pay 15 M's a year.
Kennan did a quick double take. Alexander's investigative staff was better than good. It was uncanny.
But seriously, Dr. Kennan, I am pleased that you do not like that contract. Frankly, I wouldn't consider employing you if you did.
Sir?
That contract is a screen. It weeds out the careless, the fools, and the unfit in one operation. A man who would sign a thing like that has no place in my organization.
Alexander chuckled at Kennan's blank expression.
I see you have had no experience with screening contracts.
I haven't, Kennan admitted. On Beta, the tests are formal. The medico-psych division supervises them.
Different worlds, different methods, Alexander observed. But they're all directed toward the same goal. Here, we aren't so civilized. We depend more on personal judgment.
He took another contract from one of the drawers of his desk.
Take a look at this. I think you'll be more satisfied.
If you don't mind, I'll read it now, Kennan said. Alexander nodded. It's fair enough, Kennan said, except for Article 12.
The personal privilege section?
Yes.
Well, that's the contract. You can take it or leave it.
I'll leave it, Kennan said. Thank you for your time. He rose to his feet, smiled at Alexander, and turned to the door. Don't bother to call your receptionist, he said. I can find my way out.
Just a minute, doctor, Alexander said.
He was standing behind the desk, holding out his hand.
Another test? Kennan inquired.
Alexander nodded.
The critical one, he said. Do you want the job?
Of course.
Without knowing more about it?
The contract is adequate. It defines my duties.
And you think you can handle them?
I know I can.
I notice, Alexander observed, that you didn't object to other provisions.
No, sir. They're pretty rigid, but for the salary you are paying, I figure you should have some rights. Certainly, you have the right to protect your interests. But that Article 12 is a direct violation of everything a human being should hold sacred, besides being a violation of the Peeper laws. I'd never sign a contract that didn't carry a full Peeper rider.
That's quite a bit.
That's the minimum, Kennan corrected. Naturally, I won't object to mnemonic erasure of matters pertaining to your business once my contract's completed and I leave your employment. But until then, there will be no conditioning, no erasures, no taps, no snoopers, and no checkups other than the regular periodic psychans. I'll consult with you on vacation time, and we'll arrange it to suit your convenience. I'll even agree to emergency recall. But that's the limit. Kennan's voice was flat.
You realize I'm agreeing to give you a great deal of personal liberty, Alexander said. How can I protect myself?
I'll sign a contingency rider, Kennan said, if you will specify precisely what security matters I am not to reveal.
I accept, Alexander said. Consider yourself hired.
He touched a button on his desk.
Prepare a standard 2A contract for Dr. Jack Kennan's signature, and attach 2 riders, a full PPS, no exceptions, and a security leak contingency, Form 287C. Yes, that's right. that one. And strike out all provisions of Article 12 which conflict with the Pieper laws. Yes. Now, and finish it as soon as you can. He touched another button. Well, that's that, he said. I hope you'll enjoy being a member of our group.
I think I shall, Kennan said. You know, sir, I would have waived part of that last demand if you had cared to argue.
I know it, Alexander said. But what concessions I could have wrung from you would have been relatively unimportant, beside the fact that you would have been unhappy about them later. What little I could have won here, I'd lose elsewhere. And since I want you, I'd prefer to have you satisfied.
I see, Kennan said. Actually, he didn't see at all.
He looked curiously at the entrepreneur.
Alexander couldn't be as easy as he seemed. Objectivity and dispassionate weighing and balancing were nice traits and very helpful ones, but in the bear pit of galactic business, they wouldn't keep their owner alive for 5 minutes. The interworld trade sharks would have skinned him long ago and divided the stripped carcass of his company between them. But Outworld was a respected company. The exchange reports said so, which made Alexander a different breed of cat entirely. Still, his surface was perfect, polished and impenetrable as a Duraloy turret on one of the latest Brotherhood battleships. Kennan regretted that he wasn't a sensitive. It would be nice to know what Alexander really was.
"Tell me, sir," Kennan asked, "what are the real reasons that make you think I'm the man you want?"
"And you're the young man who's so insistent on a personal privacy rider."
Alexander chuckled.
However, there's no harm telling you. There are several reasons. You're from a culture whose name is a byword for moral integrity. That makes you a good risk so far as your ethics are concerned. In addition, you're the product of one of the finest educational systems in the galaxy, and you have proven your intelligence to my satisfaction. You also showed me that you weren't a spineless yes-man. And finally, you have a spirit of adventure. Not one in a million of your people would do what you have done. What more could an entrepreneur ask of a prospective employee?
Kennan sighed and gave up. Alexander wasn't going to reveal a thing.
All I hope, Alexander continued affably, is that you'll find Outworld Enterprises as attractive as did your predecessor, Dr. Williamson. He was with us until he died last month. Better than 100 years.
Died rather young, didn't he?
Not exactly. He was nearly 400 when he joined us. My grandfather was essentially conservative. He liked older men, and old Doc was one of his choices. A good one, too. He was worth every credit we paid him.
I'll try to do as well, Kennan said. But I'd like to warn you that I have no intention of staying as long as he did. I want to build a clinic, and I figure 60,000 is about enough to get started.
When will you veterinarians ever learn to be organization men? Alexander asked. You're as independent as tomcats.
Kennan grinned.
It's a breed characteristic, I guess.
Alexander shrugged.
Perhaps you'll change your mind after you've worked for us.
Possibly, but I doubt it.
Tell me that 5 years from now, Alexander said.
Ah, here are the contracts.
He smiled at the trim secretary who entered the room carrying a stack of papers.
The riders are as you ask, sir, the girl said.
Good. Now, doctor, if you please.
You don't mind if I check them? Kennan asked.
Not at all. And when you're through, just leave them on the desk. Except for your copy, of course.
Alexander scrawled his signature on the bottom of each contract.
Don't disturb me. I'll be in contact with you. Leave your whereabouts with your hotel.
He turned to the papers in front of him and then looked up for the last time.
Just one more thing, he said. You impress me as a cautious man. It would be just as well if you carried your caution with you when you leave this room.
Kennan nodded. and Alexander turned back to his work. End of chapter 2.